Hi, everyone. It's Shenda Wallen. And this week's episode of the Leadership Habit Podcast, we talked all about the power of reading. Power of reading to develop your leadership skill set, the power of reading to be able to reduce your stress. And I'm not talking reading just specifically business books or personal development or self-help books. I'm talking about the power of fiction books and how you can use that to develop your leadership skill set. And to have that conversation, Melanie Bell joined us, who is the founder of a group called Leaders Who Fiction. And it's a group that's designed to help people get back to the joy of reading, but also do it with more of an intentional purpose and to process it and reflect in a different way to see how they can take what they're doing outside of work back into the workplace. But let me tell you more about Melanie. Melanie Bell is the co-founder of Strategic Peace, a company that helps B2B businesses generate revenue growth by bringing together their marketing, sales, and service teams around an information-driven customer experience. However, that's not why Melanie is here today. Melanie is not only about strategy and marketing, she also founded Leaders Who Fiction. And through Leaders Who Fiction, Melanie helps people develop leadership skills by reading fiction and participating in intellectual, business-oriented conversations centered around a selected novel. Melanie earned a BA in International Development from McGill University in Montreal and an MBA from Rice University in Houston. And I hope you enjoy our conversation on how you can use fiction to develop your leadership skills. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to be talking about books today. For those that might not know this about me, I am an avid reader on both fiction and nonfiction. But today, this is a special place in my heart because ever since I met today's guest on our pre-call, I have actually been thinking differently while I'm reading these books. I was thinking about the lessons learned. I've been applying it in a different way. So of course, we are here to talk about how you can use fiction to develop your leadership skills. And to have this conversation, Melanie Bell, I am so excited to have you. Thank you so much for coming on the Leadership Habit Podcast today. I am excited for our conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited too.
Now, when we first met, I had to admit, like, I'd never heard anyone, you know, that really talked about this platform in terms of leadership, of using that fiction, something that's fun and enjoyable that I love to do for a pastime, to really think about how you can actually use that to develop yourself. So I'm excited to talk more about what you've created, how you help others do this, because I think there are a lot of listeners that could really benefit. But before we dive into the conversation and how we can do it, would you just go ahead and introduce yourself or tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Sure. So my day-to-day job, or what I consider a day job, I work for myself. I run a marketing strategy and technology consulting firm called Strategic Peace, which iterations of that I've been running for the last 10 years. And a lot of the companies that we work with are growth stage companies, entrepreneurs. And so I deal a lot with C-suite. And as I started to ramp up my reading again, because I was missing that, I was talking about all these books I was reading, and my clients kept saying, like, oh man, I used to love reading and I haven't read it, picked up any books this year. And so through a few different conversations, all of a sudden I was like, you know what? People just need the excuse to read fiction books. And it's sad that we're all reading the exact same business strategy books all the time, and or feel guilty if we're picking up something for fun. And so my group, Leaders Who Fiction, was kind of created out of those conversations that I was having.
I love that. So tell me more about your group. So Leaders Who Fiction, Melody went out and actually created a group of people so you could hopefully hold people accountable to bringing this joy into their life, to bringing the fun of reading back. Tell me more about what or who Leaders Who Fiction serves. Tell me more how it's run.
Sure. So in essence, it's a monthly online book club. So we meet over Zoom once a month, and we've all read the same book. So we plan out the books 3 months in advance in case someone's a slower reader and they don't want to come to every meeting. Totally fine. And so we all get on Zoom and for an hour discuss the book like a traditional book club would. We just We've all read the book, though, with a slightly different perspective, which is being really intentional to pick out the leadership themes and lessons from what we've been reading. We also now are launching an asynchronous community, an online community. So if people can't make the meetings but still want to read the book and take part in that conversation, then they have the ability to do it online and not be having this one opportunity in a month to talk about the book.
No, I love it. I love that you talk about how your perspective or your frame of reference when you're reading is different, because ever since I talked to you, I just finished a book, I'm picking up another one, and the pre-call I talked about already, just the way that I was absorbing them or processing them different. So I'm excited now to dive into our conversation, how to use fiction to develop leadership skills. Out of curiosity, so I know you touched on this a little bit, but why fiction specifically? Why not still do a book club where you're combining both? Like, why go all in on fiction?
So there are a few reasons for that. One of which is I think a lot of people are reading business books or getting podcasts and having a lot of content download that way. And so I feel like there's a time and a place for business books. Like I always feel bad when I sound like I'm knocking them and like they're not important. And I think that there is a purpose for them. But what I really love about fiction is that when we read, from a neuroscience perspective, our brains switch into simulation mode. And so in a novel, we're actually walking around in a protagonist's shoes. So whoever that main character is, we're really, our mind has gone into this very immersive environment and walking around in this totally other world, different world. So it's really good from a mental health perspective to unplug and you know, picture, transport yourself into another time and place. But the other great thing is you're also, fiction writers are really trying to explore the gray area and moral dilemmas and ethical dilemmas. Whereas a lot of times in business books, case studies that will get broken down and everything's very black and white. So it tends to be pretty obvious what somebody should do in a given scenario. And so I just think that there are a lot of benefits in terms of that simulation, in terms of building empathy. And that just make a difference for the fiction over the nonfiction.
No, and I appreciate the gray because I think that was a lesson earlier on that I can still think of feedback that I received from a boss 20 years ago that said, Jen, you know, to be successful, you have to learn how to live in the gray. And that was so counter to that black and white or all or nothing achiever, black or white or all or nothing cognitive distortion that mm-hmm. us achievers more or less develop, right? To really understand, are we doing things the right way? Are we hitting the mark or missing the mark? But one question that you've shared that really helps people use fiction to develop their leadership skill set is, how would I respond in those situations? Tell me a little bit about how that question or why that question is so impactful in developing leadership skills.
Sure. So I think this is actually one of the most common questions that gets asked in a book club. In fact, I was on a workshop a few weeks ago and it was all about book club fiction. And one of the main questions that they said people would want to talk about in any book club is like, what would I do in this situation? So I think that there's something unique to this. And because we're in the simulation mode, we're not having to actually go through these hard lessons ourselves in person. And so it gives us the opportunity to reflect in a really safe environment and think about, okay, am I encountering a situation that's like this, maybe in the workplace, maybe it's at home. Cause I think, you know, we have leadership examples outside of the workplace too. I always just default to work. And so I think that how would I react is just giving us that moment to pause and reflect and think about and be very deliberate about how we're approaching scenarios in our own lives.
I love that. I think there's probably an opportunity to feel heard in some ways, to feel, I don't know, more normal than how much of an outlier we can sometimes feel with what we're going through, but also just being more curious. I think you probably get more in touch with your values. If you haven't done a true values assessment, a way to kind of gather that information might be, how would you respond in this situation?
Right.
Gosh, we need to build in more thinking time. Now, I know that you talked about a few of the benefits already, but I want to dive into, for those that might be still struggling with wanting to pick up fiction or feeling that urgency that it's only nonfiction to the way of your development, let's talk about why it's important to even bring reading back into people's lives. What are the benefits of reading?
Sure. So I think, first of all, just to have like a well-rounded, holistic life, we do need to be doing stuff that's really just for enjoyment and for fun. And so reading can be a really great hobby to do that. It's fairly inexpensive, especially it can be free with library cards. I'll just make a shout out to libraries there.
Yeah, they have the free digital library cards. You can get it on your Kindle. It's so easy.
Exactly. So I think that there's something about making sure that we've got stuff that's outside of a career that's making us a whole person. But in terms of some of the other benefits, I mean, reading has been proven to be one of the most effective ways at reducing stress. So there was a study that was done, it was by the University of Sussex, probably about 10, 15 years ago at this point. And they found it was like more effective than taking a walk. It was more effective than just making yourself a cup of tea. And they said, even if you're just reading for 6 minutes, it can reduce your stress by 68%, which to me is pretty crazy.
Wow. That is a insane statistic. 6 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hear this. 6 minutes. That's all you have to do. Just 6 minutes of reading.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we all have those days. I have them too. And this is why I didn't read as much early in my career. It's like, we've got computer jobs, especially. It's like the last thing you want to do is go home and focus. And my eyes are tired. And it doesn't have to be that bad. And part of it is just this habit that you build up, the same way that if you go to a gym, you build up your endurance. So you do get used to it. But the benefits, like that stress reduction, is huge.
My gosh. Well, and you talked about empathy too, with truly being able to maybe relate or be curious about someone else's circumstances. Yeah. I feel like there are so many things that I've learned about, whether it was, you know, Killers of the Flower Moon, which is obviously more like geared towards nonfiction based on the story and like what actually happened. But also I can think of other books where it took me to places that they were not all historical fiction. Some of them were, but some were also just different characters from different environments and different cities that there are still true pieces of those. And it was a complete beautiful invitation to see that story and to anticipate, what would I do if I was that person? What does that person's life look like? Oh my gosh, there's people around the world. Someone is living like that. Like, I just think it's so crazy. And maybe it's because I don't really watch a ton of movies because they don't captivate me in the same way, but I just love reading. And maybe they do the same thing. I don't know if there's a true difference in terms of how they transport, but I think reading is just, I love it. It's 6 minutes a day. That's another reason to do it.
Yeah. Well, so the first time I got a management position, and I was pretty young and I was working at a small company, so there wasn't like, oh, there's some formal management training program. I went to my boss and was like, okay, what do I do? How do I learn how to do this job? And their advice was to go read psychology books, because they said so much about this leadership role is being able to read people. And going back to your point about empathy is like, what, I mean, you could read psychology books. I've read them. Some are really great. But it's so much more fun to learn.
Yeah.
By reading stories. And it's such a more powerful way to build that empathy as well. And I just wanted to go back to your point on empathy there.
Yes. Well, and I will say what I do lately, I've still been reading more of my fiction books, but sometimes I will pick up both. So when I go to bed at night, I will start with the nonfiction and read a little bit of that until I'm tired. And then the exciting thing is that I get to go to my fiction book. And that's one way that I found to try and do both, you know, to make it a little bit easier to do it.
Yeah.
Who would you recommend? So if you were going to invite someone into leaders, into like Leaders Who Fiction, or if you were going to say, you should really do this, who do you think would benefit? I mean, I feel like the world, if it's stress reduction, the world would benefit, but who would you recommend to start to do this?
Yeah. So one of the first questions I'm asked is like, well, what if I don't like reading? And I'm like, okay, then this isn't for you. That's fine. I'm not here to try to convert people who don't like reading into becoming readers. So I think the thing that most people have in common is that they love reading, but time is short. And so we have a real mix of people who are part of the group. So sometimes people are in their first leadership role and they're learning the ropes. We have other people who are entrepreneurs, mid-career professionals, and their leadership is getting pushed farther than it has been previously. And we have some people who are later in their career and they're really interested in their legacy building. And those conversations, to have them across all those different levels of leadership, get really interesting. So I would say, as long as you like reading, then this is a good technique for you.
Yes, reading, even listening to those books on Audible or Spotify or wherever you can do that. Gosh, so you don't have to physically pick it up and read. You can walk and listen.
Yes.
From your experience and from leading the group, how have you seen this help others?
So one of the most vocal feedback I get is that people are actually reading books again for the first time in a long time, which to me is like, I'm like, great, check mark number one. But I have just anecdotally, people have commented to me that I've seen light bulb moments go off where in a conversation that we've had where it's like, oh, that is exactly like this person who I'm struggling to deal with at work. And people just have a better idea of how they want to approach that situation. So I think sometimes it comes directly from reading the book, but sometimes it's really that the conversation and the different reading, sharing the different reading experiences with the group. We had a really interesting one in our last meeting where the book that we had read was called Project Hail Mary, and it's by Andy Weir. And one of the members had said, oh, I didn't realize that people think to themselves in that structure. And this particular person's wife is a psychiatrist. And so they had this whole conversation that he brought to our group about how some people think in, you know, pithy little statements. And he's like, I think in paragraphs. And so when I'm responding and giving feedback at work, like I have a totally different, my mental model is working completely differently than some other people's. And so I think there's those aha moments that have been really cool to see.
Oh, I love hearing about that one, especially thinking styles, because it's one of the more pronounced differences that we can see in a workplace. And just being able to understand that we all think differently, just based on our life experience, how our brain is. So everything, we all have a different perspective, but I love that that brought that to light, that curiosity of how other people's brains might actually come to a conclusion or make a decision. I even think about, and I think, I know I shared this with you on our pre-call, even in my own business, if I'm creating marketing, so much I can be inspired by a book. And I still think of something that I shared with my audience about overcoming anxiety and just, you know, taking action when we don't want to take action. And the remedy was a simple statement that was just do the next thing, just do the next thing, just do the next thing. And all that came from was a book, The Covenant of Water. And it was a story, or I guess something that was shared to that character by someone in her family as like, when times are tough, just do the next thing, like just do the next thing. And so I love just even the little, I guess, creative bursts or ways that you can take it and like share it with others in a way that you never thought possible. Like I didn't pick that up thinking I was going to get something that would help people, but I got something that helped people. And I share that. Check out The Covenant of Water. It's long, but I liked it. I'm not sure. Have you read that one?
I haven't read that one, but I've read his first book. And that was my favorite book I read last year.
Oh, what book? What's his first book?
It's called Cutting for Stone.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it was interesting because I absolutely hated the first 100 pages of it. And then I loved it. And I think I loved the book more because I really didn't like the start of it.
I think that The Covenant of Water might have a little bit of that. And for it's a little slow for the pickup. And so maybe that is like very extreme character development, I guess, is what I would say they did in The Covenant of Water. So maybe the same for his first book. Well, Let's talk about maybe if someone's listening and they're like, okay, you've talked to me. I just heard that 6 minute stress. I'm on board. I'm going to do this. But then also hearing the mental model comparison or understanding how to work with different personality types or frustrating people. Now let's talk about how people can do this at home, whether they, you know, participate in leadership fiction or whether they're picking up a fiction book and they want to know how they can do that. How do you start to use fiction to develop these leadership skills?
Sure. So I think the nice thing is the first step of it is really whether it's intentional or not, you will naturally identify with a protagonist and you will go into that simulation mode I was talking about. So your empathy skills should build regardless. But I think if you get to sit down and be intentional about it, it will be that much more powerful. So the key things that I like to look at while I'm reading is figuring out what each of the characters wants in each particular scene, who has the power of that scene, what's at stake. And so you really, I think just asking those three questions as you go through and read will really help people hone in on what is a particular character's goals, what's motivating them, what are their flaws, where are their blind spots. And then as you read and you're asking yourself those questions, then it's always that opportunity for you to reflect as well on yourself or the people around you.
My gosh. So, and I love that you break it down by scene, because initially my thought was, what if I have no idea what the direction that this book is taking, that it's kind of that scene or that chapter, maybe, if you will, where we're asking, you know, so do you do your reflection like after that first chapter? How do you take that break to do that reflection?
So I think that, a lot of books will follow like kind of a 3-act or 5-act structure, even if they're not a play. And so I think just kind of anytime something really momentous is happening, like a big turning point, that's a good opportunity to just kind of like digest what you've been reading and think about it.
Yes. And do you have any examples, or I'm trying to think through of like the book that I read recently, which is, or I guess, The First Lie Wins. I just read a suspense or a mystery, if you will. And when I think about what the character first wanted, through that first act, it seemed that she was just doing her job. And so she was trying to do her job. But then if I think about who she was working for, you know, her boss wanted to expand his wealth, wanted to expand his control. Am I getting this right in terms of like thinking about the motivations of each piece? Like, where would they go? What are their goals? And when I'm translating that, if I think about a boardroom, right, we can likely see that same scenario happen. And whether it's a Zoom meeting, a boardroom, maybe that's a dated phrase, but a Zoom meeting, and just being curious, what do you think each person in that room wants from that meeting or wants from that decision? I think that's a piece that a lot of people don't realize. Like, and you talked about power. Mm-hmm. And like power is the same. You can typically look at a Zoom meeting or be in a physical meeting and ask yourself, who has the power? Because it's not always the person that has the title.
Right. And I think a lot of times, you know, when you were talking about your example, the book that you just read, a lot of times characters will have kind of the obvious surface level goals, and then they've got some deeper seated motivations. And so they've got those external motivations and internal. And that's true for all of us. I mean, think about board members as like, there's normally more than one reason why someone is on the board. And it's not just because it's fiduciary duty. You know, that might be part of it. But at the same time, like, are they there because this is good for their own career development? Are they there for their legacy? Are they there for all of these other reasons? And I think just understanding those layers of people and practicing thinking about people with that level of complexity is really powerful.
Ooh, I love this, because I think people forget about the deep layers. We judge on the surface. Or totally. With even how you just shared that first motive. And I was reluctant to share any of her future motives because I don't want to give away the book should someone want to read it. But you're right, because when you said there are deeper rooted motives, I initially thought, okay, well, I know what her deepest rooted motive is now from reading it, but it wasn't what I just shared. Obviously that was uncovered, but I love the example of even that board member, or picture your boss, picture the executive, or I maybe go back to my 20s when I was further down the line. And so the people in those higher up positions were almost like mythical beings to me. I was totally super intimidated by them. I was like, how did you get to be so successful? What do you mean? But being curious about like, okay, what is in it for them? Why do I think they want this position? Why did they likely get this position? Or what do I think I know? Knowing that some of that is not obviously going to lead you to the true, like to the true reason. So know that to anyone, it might lead you to assumptions, but still even just being curious.
Yes.
Like, oh, is it just that someone invited them to be on the board? Or is it that they had tremendous experience within a particular industry or within a particular challenge that this organization is facing that makes them a unique candidate for this position? Yeah. I love this because I can think of so many people. And I think going back to that empathy piece, I think it really triggers that empathy and appreciation for others when you see their layers. And it also can create that growth mindset instead of judging them on the surface for what they have that maybe I don't, you know, fixed mindset is judging that success of others, going into that growth of like, what can I learn by peeling back the layers and asking, how did they get here? Why do they have value? Or what might someone else see that I don't have visibility to?
Yeah.
I just went on a tangent there, but I just think I love this parallel because I think, again, we miss the opportunity to play in these fictional spaces and to understand that there's a lot more happening in your team meeting, in your larger town hall meeting, in the boardrooms of meetings that you're not involved in, or the meetings that you're not involved in as a leader when they're talking, you know, silently on chat or by the water cooler.
Simple emails have layers to them.
And I wonder if this, because the one piece we haven't maybe talked about is maybe just creating that habit around that breaking point. You talked about the 3 acts or the 5 acts of reflection or when something big happens. I wonder if you have also heard, or if you will likely hear this more, that it helps people slow down a little bit and to not make those knee-jerk reactions. And it actually helps you to pause. Is that fair to say? Like, I think the more that you do this in outside of work and your playtime, the more you're likely going to be able to pause when you actually get in those fight or flight moments or the times you've been triggered.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think so much of what people want, right? I mean, putting my marketing hat on right now, it's like every piece of content people want, it's like shorter and shorter and shorter attention spans. And it's like, we kind of need to start countering that so that we can keep our focus and, you know, really engage in deep thought work, for example. And stuff like reading novels does definitely help. I think you can sit down and read for 6 minutes. That's okay. But at the same time, maybe you sit down and read for a longer stint and work on your focus skills too.
Yes. And I think that's true. And even, you know, it's funny, we talked about this on the pre-call. My partner talked about how he loves TikTok. And on the same token, he also said that he thinks that TikTok is making like his attention span worse, but yet he keeps picking up TikTok. And I keep telling him to read a book. but so know that of course technology is going to pull our brain, that maybe you do need to get back into the habit of reading. And maybe it starts with 2 minutes and then you get to the 6. But at least you're starting it. So final question, Melody, would be, what might be some good books to get people started? Or what are some books that you would recommend that are, you know, great for maybe identifying some of those leadership skills or leadership lessons?
Sure. So I wrote down a couple of books that I felt like were really the ones that had the most like interesting, rich conversation that we've had in the group. And so one was the book I mentioned earlier, Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. So it's a dystopian sci-fi book, if that's up people's alley.
Did she also write The Martian?
Martian.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes. Okay. She also wrote The Martian. Another one we read last year was called The Final Revival of Opal and Nev, N-E-V, by this author named Donnie Walton. And that one was really good because there are several different examples of leaders in that book. And they have very different styles with pros and cons associated with that. So I thought that book did a really nice job of exploring the consequences of leadership styles. And that one is more historical fiction. It's dual timeline, so present day and historical fiction. But that can be really fun too. And the one that got me when I finished my MBA, I was reading this book called Ender's Game, which is also sci-fi. I don't read a lot of sci-fi, but two of my books are sci-fi. They've got a lot of good leadership principles. Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card. And I just remember reading that book in like 2 days and being like, this is the book that we should have read in my organizational behavior class.
I feel like I've heard of that book. It gained a lot of fame, right? That
was I think they made a movie of it a couple years ago as well.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So that's a really fun, easy read. It's written for teenagers. So pretty, you know, it's not too heavy to get in.
I am here for young adult fiction because I think, again, it opens up the creativity that sometimes I really like that because it's just taking me to a place where things are a little nonsensical. Things are a little bit more magical. Thinking Harry Potter, or I think of the Mrs. Peregrine series.
Yeah, so great.
And loved. Oh my gosh. I just love being able to come in and talk about books. And now you've given me a list of books that I need to go and read. But I hope that this conversation inspired others to think differently about maybe judging themselves a little less for not picking up the nonfiction book and just embracing what you can actually gain from picking up a fiction book. Melanie, how can people get in touch with you? How could they continue this conversation? I've loved learning. It's a fun topic. And I loved even just thinking about all the benefits that I didn't think about when I picked up my book. Again, you've challenged me to think differently every time I read at night. But Melanie, how can our audience get in touch with you?
Sure. So our website is leaderswhofiction.com. And that website has our upcoming books and meeting times and all the information. If somebody wanted to sign up, they can do that there. I'm also happy to connect with people on LinkedIn. My name is Melanie Bell. If you look up Melanie A. Bell, because that's a really common name. So I have to add the middle initial, but Melanie A. Bell on LinkedIn. And I'm happy to connect with people who are interested in this topic because it really excites me. So anytime people want to talk about books, I'm all for it.
I need to ask, what are the books on the horizon?
So we have a fairly controversial book coming up next month called American Dirt, which when it came out was like, people had very strong feelings about because it.
The author, right? Like, yes. Yes, but I read it. I mean, interesting story, especially as I guess the migrant crisis is something that we're seeing throughout the U.S., especially here in Colorado. Okay, American Dirt, love that.
American Dirt, S.A. Crosby's All the Sinners Bleed, which is a thriller. And these books have all come from member recommendations. So I actually haven't read them yet.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's a bit of an adventure for me. As well. And then our book in May is called The Lonely Hearts Book Club. So very different feel than the other books. So
all three of them.
You try to keep it a mix. So you'll read things that you wouldn't pick up normally, but also I think that there's just a lot of really good stuff across the board going on. And hopefully everyone gets a little bit of a taste of that.
Yes. Well, and I always think that I get some of the best books just from recommendations of books I probably wouldn't want to read or don't think to read. So I love that you balance that out. Like, it's not just, you know, one type or genre, and you also take just different people's experiences and bring that into account. Melanie, thank you so much. I've loved, again, our whole conversation, Leaders Who Fiction. Check it out. Go out and read today. Hey, just 6 minutes. You'll be happier for it. Thank you so much for coming on The Leadership Habit, Melanie. It was great to have this conversation with you.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Leadership Habit Podcast. I hope it inspired a new reason to pick up a book today. Not just the business books, but a fiction book, something that maybe you're doing more for fun and entertainment. I know that ever since I met Melanie, I have been reading a little bit differently and I love it. And I hope that you are inspired to do so as well. And of course, if we at Crescom International can help you in any way to develop, enhance your leadership skill set, we would love the opportunity. Over the course of a year, we offer 24 unique leadership topics designed to help you be the best leader that you can be. Because behind those successful outcomes that we want are likely processes that we want to follow. There's considerations, there's evidence, and that's what we at Crescom want to share with you, because our goal is to create a world of better leaders. We know that leaders, how they show up at work, impacts everything outside of the work, our communities, our families, our relationships, and so much more. So head on over to crescom.com. There you can find out more about us. You can also request a complimentary leadership skills workshop. It's something fun and interactive that you can do with your team virtually or in person. I highly recommend it. Go to crescom.com. And finally, if you know someone that maybe loves reading or is getting into it or would benefit from hearing this podcast, please share this with them. Until next time, everyone.